welcome Professor Danny Dorling, who's kindly come to talk to us about some of the work that he's been doing on inequalities. And we're very grateful that you're able to make it up to Manchester to meet with us. And I know this fantastic audience will have loads of questions for you. But thank you very much, Danny.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Let's try and do this in 10 minutes so you can ask lots of questions. And not just that, I'm slightly overawed because what you're getting after me is a cultural rebellion. And although this is quite important, what I'm going to be telling you about, it is nothing compared to the extinction of species. We're talking about a few tens of thousands of people dying early, 80 babies dying early. And I can actually work out for you and tell you how many it's been the driving force of the first species we've lost each year and last year. But it still matters. That graph up there is there to tell you that we don't know all the answers. It's a graph of the population of the whole of Britain and Ireland combined from the year 1000. As it goes up, you head towards, we're now about 66, 68 million plus the population of Ireland. The skedaddles to the side are about change. The biggest event that occurred in Ireland was the famine in Ireland in the 1840s. You can see it all zoom off. That's the deaths due to the famine. That's people emigrating their way out so they can all live. And then your eyes should be drawn to what's on earth happened in the years up to 2008. In 2003, we did something we've done many times before. We invited people in. We invited people in when there were pogroms in Russia, and then we turned out how it was they were coming from Eastern Europe. We didn't want them, and we created the British Union of Fascists. We invited people in the 1960s when Elon Power went to the Caribbean and India and begged people to come to be bus drivers and nurses, and then we said we didn't want them. In 2003, we invited people in by opening up early to AA countries. Bang, you get that. What do? The important thing is we don't do this a fourth time. We decide it's really, really terrible that they come after we invite them in early, and hey, presto, you've got all the fun going on at the moment. Why might this matter for what I'm talking about? Because we created a hostile environment, which the exact tweezer made it. Why might that matter for health? It's really hard to prove, but some of the first people I was told who left were Filipino nurses in London who didn't really have a work visa. It wasn't a problem until they started checking the visas. They were working in care homes. Who's in care homes? Elderly people. Okay? I'm just trying to give you an idea. It's complicated. I'm now going to get very simple. Since 2008-2013, we have more than decimated adult social care visits. Officially, according to the government, this has had no effect on health or on adults being cared for. All these visits and adult social workers were of absolutely no use, unless you can prove that they might have been useful for care or for health. We've got our first drop in life expectancy for women over the age of 65. About 2012, it's the women, elderly women who start dying first because elderly women are much more likely to be living on their own. Elderly men, in the vast majority, have a woman living with them, this cohort, who on average is 5 years younger than them, and on average will die 5 years after they die. So it's like a mini welfare state. The elderly women started dying early in this country. We knew about it in July 2011-2012, the NHS has a thing called Target 1A, which is about avoidable mortality. It gets better and better and better. That's just what happens in rich countries. Then it flatlined. What we discovered is that nobody had a remit or statutory duty to do anything about any of the indicators going wrong. Loads of people have a duty to collect all these indicators. Nobody, none of the four chief medical officers, no chief nurse, not public health England, the people actually have a remit to press the button and say it's happened, something terrible's going on. The first really bad event was revealed on, what was it, June 23rd, 2016. There was some other news that day. It was the day in which the result of the referendum was released. This wasn't conspiracy. The Office of National Statistics released the figures every year around that day. 52,000 more people have died than normal. Death rates have gone up for all age groups. The people dying, some of them have Alzheimer's and dementia. It wasn't because they had Alzheimer's and dementia they were dying. People who had Alzheimer's and dementia 10 years earlier were doing better. It was the care that they were getting. Almost certainly, can't prove it, it will be proved. There are hundreds of academic papers in press right now, going through journals, that's going to be published in the next couple of years. And we'll already have been. Flu. Thank God they shut up about flu. This is what a flu epidemic looks like. I'm a geographer. I shouldn't have to tell any of you about this. Comes in, very sharp rising, 5 weeks, bad, lots of people got flu, some died, particularly those who weren't exposed to the same kind of flu in childhood, and it goes down again. The key thing about flu is it doesn't respect national borders. You don't have a red, white and blue flu. Okay? You get an idea of it's flu because it happens to other places. And it happened frequently. When mortality started to stall, the official reason was flu. Lots of flu. Flu doesn't show up in tests of flu. The really bad news is that currently there's a strain of flu going through Australia and New Zealand that's not good. So we're going to eventually find out about flu and what it really is this winter. After having cried wolf. How bad was it? Apologies if this is news to you and I'm glad you didn't know about this, but I'm assuming you've got some idea that something quite terrible is happening in Britain. If you compare mid-year, the very worst year since we started collecting records in 1832 were 1918. That was flu. Really big flu. Pandemic. 1940 was a very bad year for deaths in Britain. 16% rise. War and the bombing and the wounded soldiers coming back from Dunkirk and dying. 1929 was a very cold winter. People have been blaming cold winters this time. It's really bad news the planet's warming up, but just in case you didn't know, we have had the warmest series of winters ever recorded since we've used thermometers since 2010. So it's not a cold winter. 1895 was a bad year, the Great Frost, 1846, cholera here in Manchester, 1849, cholera, 2015. You would have thought, when that list comes up, that somebody might have said something other than, oh, it's flu. Okay? David Cameron, in 2010, announced that there will be a happiness index, because David was a kind of the last man, and we were all going to, you know, get happier. And you'll have never seen the happiness index being reported. Nevertheless, bless them, dutifully produced it. They bundled 35 measures together, of which the most important ones are about health. And what happens when we ask the population each year about their health in the British Household Panel Study? Rather like Spike Milligan on his grave, he says, I told you I was ill. The population of Britain reported dramatic falls in the quality of their lives and in particular their health. What happens when I showed it, I mentioned it to my very good friend George Navy Smith, who's normally spot on with all of this. He looks at this and went, Danny, that's artifact. He went, that never ever happens. Must be a change in question wording. That can't be possible. Okay? But that's what happened. There was a slight, we did change from paper to electronic in the middle of that, but you can see it doesn't make much difference. The population of Britain, 2010 was okay, 2011, 12, 13 were telling us that their health is worse. Could be psychosocial, we don't know, but we'll find out. This graph is the proportion of public spending as a proportion of GDP since 2002. To give you an idea of the country you're living in, it's IMF data. When New Labour were in power, we were 2002, 2003, 2004, we were spending around about 38% of GDP on public services. It goes up. That's a not fixing the roof when the sun's shining bit, spending more. It was actually the Iraq War, so you didn't have to do it. It all shoots up 2008-09, because that's bailing out the banks. Ireland asked us what to do, and George Osborne told them bail out every last account. And so they did, which is why you get a spike. And then the thick line is our austerity plans down to 36% of GDP being spent on public services, which is really, really low for Europe. If we want to spend the same on health as the Germans, we need to spend an extra €1 billion every week. I'd love to hire a bus. For a million. It's really difficult. You know, Trident doesn't give you very much, getting rid of it. Probably doesn't actually work. You've got to introduce a progressive European-style tax system overnight if you want to do this. And you can have fun with this. You can look at the top of the basket cases of Finland. You know, Finland, the streets are full of homeless people, the children are uneducated, it's terrible. You know, it's about, or France. There's countries that are good at protesting do well. If you have a third child in France, you get higher child benefit. Anyway, you go all the way down, and you get to us. And if you're going to get all political, which is well worth doing, the last Labour manifesto at the highest estimate of what it promised to spend will get us from 36 to 38. That's the Overton window of British politics, 36 to 38. And that's when the political parties are further apart than they have been for a long time. I will be dead long before we can become an average normal European country, no matter how progressive our politics are. I'd like us to move that way, but we're a long, long way away. We are like the United States of America, and getting more like the United States of America. The beginning of the stalling of life expectancy, this data's a bit out of date, so I'm not going to spend much time. You can see it all begins with a flat line. And there's the other flat lining, this is 2015. Then it gets worse. Doing this talk is a bit like doing a talk on climate change, which was quite hard 20 years ago, got easier 10 years ago, much easier 5 years ago, but now you don't have to bother doing a talk on climate change. It's obvious. ONS released these figures. Oh, last year, the year before, when I was born, we had probably the best neonatal mortality rate in the world because we had the new baby incubators in the hospitals. By 1990, we're seventh in Europe, it's not bad, can't always be first. By 2015, we dropped to 19th. Since then, it's accelerated downwards. Since then, we've had infant mortality rise, year on year, 3.6, 3.7, 3.8, 3.9. When I give these figures in the House of Commons, Peter Bottomley, one of the nicest Conservative MPs, comes up to me and says, Danny, it's only 3.9, what are you worrying about? And that's our problem. Because he can remember when it was higher, but, you know. So then I think, shall I invoke national pride to work out the date at which we'll overtake Romania? Or is that a bit racist? Do I not do that? When I was a child, the people in Portugal, their babies died three times more than us. Portugal was the classic case of Europe. You know, where's Portugal now? Somewhere. Right, let's zoom forward. This year, Lou Hyam and Martin McKee publishing a figure from the Institute of Actuaries on the falls, predicted falls in life expectancy. In the BMJ, I think. Latest data came out in June. Mid-year estimates, this is where we get the best quality data. Just think about the date of the referendum, it's around about then. Every June we find out how many people in this country, by age and sex. We find out how many people we think have come in, how many have gone out, and how many have died. And you can use that to work out what's happened. And in the months that follow June, ONS will start releasing routine statistics, but you can work it out beforehand. Although it's always good to wait for theirs, and not work out your own life expectancy. What did the BBC do when this data came out? They got somebody from Population Matters, whose name used to be the Optimum Population Trust, to talk about how there were too many people in Britain. I'm thinking, what kind of genocide do you want to actually have? I should say, by the way, over migration, the wonderful thing about migration is we are powerful exception. Everywhere in the world, when migrants move from a poor country to a rich country, they have, on average, fewer children than if they stayed in a poor country. So if you don't want the planet to have 10.5 billion people on it, but you'd rather have it 9.5 billion people, you need to open up the borders. Yeah. You might then complain, oh, they'll start driving cars. Stop driving cars. Japan has reduced its car driving every year for 25 years. Of course, luckily, we're stopping building cars, and we're not going to afford to drive them soon. So, Okay, with interesting details slide, I'll show you the results of this. I went into detail about Coventry, because Coventry is always used as an example, a city the size of Coventry being added every year. All the reds are rising death rates. So lines across the board, this is for men, mid-year to mid-year, latest data, still going up. Life expectancy in the UK peaked in 2014, it's been lower since then. It went down a lot in 2015, up a little bit in 2016, almost certainly, but I'm going to wait for ONS, down in 2017. I don't think in 2018 it'll be back up. It should be have carried on going up. We are a poor performer in Europe. The top countries which have much higher life expectancy than us have had it rise and rise and rise. So I'm going to stop in about 2 minutes, so please leave the questions. Women not quite as bad, still big rises. An extra 6,600 women dying, or a rise per million of 181 per million, 2% rise. Partly because the rise in women dying began earlier, we're now seeing more elderly men dying. The really big numbers are these age groups. People dying at 83 rather than 85, 77 rather than 79, quietly. Sometimes, and I'm being insensitive, particularly when it began with the women, I say that the most similar demographic was the women that Harold Shipman killed. It's a group who, if they die, not many people complain. But now you see it spreading to all other age groups. That's what it looks like on a graph. You can get very excited about the 70 to 74 year olds, but I'm not. We don't have any golden cohorts or anything else, we've thought about that. This is Wales. I'm leaving Scotland to work itself out. Northern Ireland's even worse. You shouldn't have this. You shouldn't have these rises. What do I get? Endlessly a bit less of, but give us the evidence of what's causing it. I think whoever wants to tell me this ain't the cuts and austerity has a duty to prove it. It's like a smoking gun. We've looked at everything else. ONS have had cuts themselves, but they do trot out mistakes. This particular line, there were fewer live births in England, and this meant that the infant mortality rate increased to 3.9 deaths. The rate didn't increase because there were fewer births. In fact, when there are fewer births, things tend to get better, because the women who don't have babies when things get better are often the marginal women whose babies are more likely to die. But it's hard work working at ONS at the moment. It's hard keeping it going. The Census Act of 2021 has not yet been passed. It's the first time since the Second World War that the Census Act has not been passed 2 years before the census. Don't tell anybody, keep it quiet, because the government that came in 2010, if you're in that star chamber, there's a competition. If you were the minister who cut more than any other minister, you could go in the star chamber. And somebody wanted to privatise all the woodland. The cabinet office minister volunteered the entire census. And luckily, ONS has signed up two American companies, including Lockheed Martin Mission Critical Systems, who make rockets to scan the census. And the exit clause from the contract would have cost more than just running the census. That's why we got the census in 2011. I'm hopeful that Boris will be preoccupied with other things and won't notice when the Census Act finally goes through in the autumn. Because without the census, we've got no way of knowing. If you don't know who's here, the population registers aren't good enough. It's the census that tells you in 1991 and 2001 that there are a million fewer people than you thought there were. It's the census that tells you in 2011 that there are roughly a million more than you thought there were. Final two tables, and let's show. This is the changes in life expectancy published by ONS, quite quietly, using the human mortality database, which is at Berkeley. It's much better quality data than Eurostat provisional data. Only these countries did they publish up to 2016, and only the UK for women is turning red in the last two. This is falls in life expectancy. That's it. There is no other ONS figure. It's dropping. If you want a comparison, I should have highlighted this. If you look at the very bottom, you've got Japan. Of course, Japan has the highest life expectancy. And if you cast your eye along that line on the bottom, so 2009 to 2011, you'll see a drop of almost half a year in female life expectancy in Japan. Now, I can't prove what it was, but it just happens to coincide with the worst tsunami that ever hit Japan. And my Japanese colleagues have just published what's a terrible atlas of the effects of health in Japan with a tsunami. So a tsunami along that scale knocks off half a year, roughly. So if you want my estimate of what whatever has happened in Britain has been, it's equivalent to about a third of a tsunami. And I don't think there's been a tsunami that we've missed. We are constantly asked, have you thought of this, have you thought of that? And it just gets me annoyed. I don't know, if you ask me again, I'll try and be pleasant. But I've been 6 years of this. And you sort of think, for God's sake, you can't cut rural bus services, you can't get visits to elderly people, and you can't make care homes precarious. And tell me, oh, unless you can prove it matters, Danny, we don't have to believe you. Here's the men. Fewer men were affected by the tsunami because they weren't at home in the coastal villages. And very luckily, the children were on hills because the Japanese, they didn't quite know why they did it, but they traditionally built primary schools on tiny hills. And then they worked out why that was a tradition. Anyway, so whatever's happened for men, it's actually 70% of a Japanese tsunami, whatever the thing is. And with two pictures, you'll be aware, I can remember coming to Manchester years ago being a bit shocked down the Oxford Road before the post-2008 situation on the Oxford Road, and the anti-homelessness spikes and so on that Manchester Met, otherwise a wonderful university, but does it have to put anti-homelessness spikes out? This is the gates of Trinity College, Cambridge, the most richest college in Europe. And outside the gates of Trinity College, Cambridge, there are now tents. By the way, who's an academic in the room? USS? Any? Not many, a few of you, okay. Trinity College, Cambridge is the first one to try and leave the pension scheme. Yeah. Because they're so rich. Anyway, tent outside there. And here's the gates of Trinity College, Oxford. And again, people sleeping outside. I'm pretty sure that it's been centuries since people slept outside the gates of these colleges. And Oxford's been full of homeless people. I think something very big is happening. I think it can happen partly because, and this is what we've really discovered, we are massively complacent. We don't really care. In fact, it might make it easier to run a health service if the life expectancy comes down a bit. And to make our way through austerity. And it's only a rise of an extra baby per thousand. What does that matter compared to trying to make Britain great again and take back control? I've used up the time I said I do. I'm very happy to take a couple of questions. I promise I won't bite your head off if you tell me where is your evidence.
You mentioned genocide and you mentioned austerity. Don't you think austerity is a slow form of genocide by the government?
That's a good question. There's a very good academic, I think, based here, who is a bit more about social death. It's a question of intent. Where I think we're at is where we were in the 1980s, with unemployment being seen as a price worth paying. And I think this is seen as a price worth paying. That's the phrase. I almost joined the Conservative Party recently. I'm not a member of any party. I almost joined because you get a vote, £25. But you have to join 3 months before. And the reason I joined is I wanted Boris to working on this for 6 years, and I know Jeremy Hunt is not stupid. I'll put it that way. One reason why, if you want to sort of say, the bulk of people who've died have been in their 80s and then in their 70s. To get, and all over the country, particularly in the south, because where do you see the most 80-year-olds live? In the south. To get to your 80s, you basically have to be middle class. And I'd love to do the calculations, and we could do it. I suspect the majority of the people who died early, who were elderly, in 1979 and 83 and 87, voted Conservative. Yeah, there is no such thing as society that has a normal family. And in their last year of life, they really discovered that there is no such thing as society because they actually voted for it and got it. I don't believe that they would colour up. But it really brings food. However, I attended last week the Conservative conference by Blue, and a really interesting thing. There's coffee time. I don't know, I haven't watched you at coffee time. Before the coffee comes out, they just went for it. Without any queuing up. there is an attitude of just me, myself and I.
Yeah.
Health is a personal responsibility thing.
Yeah.
If you, and it shocked me. Because I thought at least you'd be trying to kind of creep your fellow Conservative friends. But no. And there are people who are not pro-social. Generally, 80% of people are very social, they feel emotion, they care about things. There's a minority who don't in every country. Most countries in Europe manage to control their selfish. Some countries don't. We have the highest income inequality in all of Europe. We are the country who didn't control our selfish more than any other country.
Very good lecture, by the way. In the 1980s, I'm a chartered surveyor. I used to inspect the mental institutions, and there was a lot of them. And something of the order of 95% had gone. So between 1980 and quite literally 10 years later, they were wiped out. And although, you know, tiny amounts of them still exist on the site, because most of them have been built on now. The houses are there, Winnick, Cheadle Royal, just these are relatively nearby places. The truth is that if you get rid of 95% of mental health provision, and I'm not saying it was all good, I'm not saying all the people should have been in there, but the reality, if you want to know where your tramps have come from, it's people who simply don't have the capability, in many cases, to deal with life. They have tremendous issues which turn to mental health issues. They die very young. It's a dreadful situation. And it's not just that people don't care. There's nowhere for them to go.
Thank you. Yeah, we did bungle that one. Except that the rise in the last 10 years has been really acute. Because there was somewhere 10 years ago, it was a really horrible flat with the really dodgy landlord that was damp that you ended up squatting in. And the thing is, well, in my city, I don't talk about my city of Oxford, that really horrible dodgy flat has had a lick of paint, and there are two American PhD students in there now. We've had 8 homelessness deaths in Oxford in the last, well, this was from 9 months ago to 4 months ago. And what really shocked the council, and you may get it here in Manchester, that the attitude of the council was, these are people coming in, and they come in because the begging's good, because of the students, you know. And what shocked the council was that one of them had come in. Another was Polish and he could never find his father. But 4 of them had grown up locally. And Otis, two of them went to my school. And that's what you realise is going on.
Sure. Thank you, Danny.